Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This episode is sponsored by Smart Habits for Marketing Your Business in Unexpected Ways, the webinar we hosted earlier this year and that's now available on demand. In this 75-minute webinar recording, you'll learn how to market your business in ways you may have not have considered before, make marketing your business feel like less of a chore and more like a natural part of your workday, and use platforms and tools that you already have experience with to market your business without feeling salesy. By purchasing this on-demand webinar, you'll get a recording that you can watch at your convenience, as well as the handout with our slides and a handy workbook that you can fill out as you go along. Plus, you can submit any questions to us by email. We're offering our listeners $10 off. Simply head to bit.ly/smartmarketinghabits and use the code SMARTHABITS at checkout to get a discount.
Yes, we had so much fun presenting this webinar earlier this year. We had a great group of colleagues who joined us then, and it was really fun to work together on these topics. And we are sure that you will get a lot out of the on-demand version too. We're currently working on some ideas for similar events and resources that we'll be sharing about in the near future, so stay tuned.
Yes. And before we dive into today's topic, let's share some updates. So let's see, what's new with me? I just wrapped up reviewing the proposals for the American Translators Association Annual Conference, which is taking place this year in late October. So we will be notifying people soon about whether or not they've been accepted to present. And also, I just started teaching a new course. This one is through Training for Translators, and it's called LinkedIn for Translators and Interpreters. So we just started that yesterday, and I'm really excited about that. It's 4 weeks of me getting to geek out with other translators and interpreters about all the ways that LinkedIn can get you new business with better clients. So what about you?
Let me see. I recently did a webinar for NCTA, which is the Northern California Translators Association, on introduction to localization, which was really fun. We had a smaller group this time, so it was really interactive, and I really enjoyed that. And I'm about 2 weeks away from the end of my introductory course on localization and audiovisual translation that I teach at Houston Community College. I teach it online. And these courses are always so fun. Okay. It's always different in some ways, but also similar in other ways, group of students every time. And I'm really proud of their hard work and interest in these fields. What else? March and April have been really busy for me work-wise and family-wise. We added another fur baby to our family.
Don't worry, everybody. Larry is still our podcast yes. mascot, the chinchilla. If you haven't seen Larry the chinchilla, we should probably post another photo of him soon.
Oh, yes. We need a Larry update.
Yeah.
So Larry's still here. We have unfortunately lost our hamster, who was, he was an old little guy, but we now have adopted a puppy. So we have a beagle mix puppy. Her name is Maggie. She doesn't get along very well with Larry, but they tolerate each other.
Oh, really? How funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so that has been keeping me busy too. And in March, my kids were on spring break, and then we had some days off for Easter. So I felt like I've been, kind of struggling to keep afloat with work and family and all the other things that I do. So I used many strategies that we talked about in our episode 38 on managing freelance work and parenthood. Okay. And of course, I've been staying busy with my volunteer work for ATA, especially the Professional Development Committee that I chair. Mm-hmm. It's been really, really rewarding doing that kind of work and working with colleagues on creating virtual continuing professional development opportunities. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've learned a lot about holding this kinds of events virtually, you know, webinars and virtual workshops. So I'm taking many notes of that and just learning about our profession and what people would like to learn more about and how to make it happen for them in a remote format. So that's been really
very
fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So let's dive into today's episode then. For anybody keeping track, this is episode 42. And today we thought we'd share a conversation about finding time for unpaid work and projects. You know, those things we enjoy doing, whether for our own development or personal fulfillment, or as a volunteer in an organization or, you know, some other type of project. So like most of our colleagues, it probably comes as no surprise that we love the work we do. And we sometimes can't believe that we actually get paid to do it.
Yeah.
But there are also other projects and goals that we have that we want to devote time to but those are things that we actually don't earn any money doing. This podcast, you know, is one of those things. We really enjoy doing it, but we do have to make the time for it. Mm. So these are things that can help you to grow, but they are also easy to push aside for maybe a quieter day down the road. So, for example, maybe you have a blog that you write or a special project or area of study that you're trying to develop. Maybe you have a hobby you want to, you know, spend more time working on, or maybe you volunteer for an organization that means a lot to you. Whatever your project or your goal is that you're working towards, it can sometimes be hard to find that time to work on these things that don't actually pay the bills. So let's start off by sharing some of our own projects that we spend time on and why we try to make time for them. And before I jump into mine, Veronica, I was thinking about this earlier this week when I saw an Instagram post where somebody said, we don't have time for all the different things we do. It's not that one person has so much more time than another. You know, I mean, yeah, sure, maybe one person does have a little bit more time on their hands at certain times in their life than others.
Right.
But the point is, we all have the same amount of time. And so the post was essentially getting to the point of the fact that we make time for the things that we get excited about or that are important to us or that, you know, will help us to achieve a certain outcome. So I think, you know, maybe we should even think about changing the name of this episode even to making time for those unpaid work and projects. But anyway, so my type of work that I do on the side that I don't get paid for but that I really enjoy are the blog that I write for colleagues, for translators and interpreters about various things related to online presence. So whether it's your website or web copy, your LinkedIn profile, marketing online to clients on different platforms, you know, various things like that, as well as courses that I teach. I mean, I do get paid for those, obviously. I'm not saying I don't get paid, but I do a lot of free work as well. When people ask me to do different things, I'm actually working right now on writing a new post on SEO tips for translators and interpreters. So that will be out soon and we can share that when it comes out. I volunteer, obviously, for the American Translators Association, which takes up quite a bit of my time given the position that I have, but it's a work that I love. But of course, we don't get paid to do that work. And then with the little time that I have left, sometimes I try to volunteer for my daughter's school, but admittedly, I am not the parent that is like the room mom. Mm. And I don't think I ever will be. I'll just put that out there now. I don't think I ever will be. But even like the smaller things, I do find difficult to find pockets of time to volunteer in different ways. And I think part of that is because she's very young too. Mm-hmm. My goal is as she gets older to try to be more involved. But at this point, with being so little, there's less going on at that age anyhow, you know, like long-term things. So yeah, and of course I have hobbies. I didn't even mention hobbies, but I love to read. I love to run, exercise, you know, spending time with different people is obviously very important. That's not a hobby, of course, but you know, making the time for all of these things, I think it is important and it makes us just well-rounded, better rounded in different ways. And of course, happier, right? I mean, we all love our work, but there comes a point where, you know, you got to put it down at the end of the day. But even these things too, you know, you know, writing my blog, for example, or volunteering for different things, you do need to kind of determine, okay, what's my threshold for all these different things. Yeah. So what about you? What kind of projects do you work on, Veronica?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, the list goes on. It's funny that you mentioned Room Mom, because that's one thing I did for my daughter for 2 years when she was in kindergarten and first grade. And I've really missed that because they don't allow volunteers on campus right now at her elementary school. But that was really fun. I used to be, even though I work a lot, I used to be that mom who volunteers a lot as well at school.
Oh, you're I don't a good do woman. That
quite that much for my younger one. My son is the same age as your daughter. And it's true that they're so young at this age that it's really okay. You'll have, you know, there'll be other opportunities when they're older. But okay, so what do I spend time on? Our podcast, obviously.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that.
You forgot podcast. To mention that. Sorry. Yes. Our podcast, and you know, it does take a lot of time, but it's so much fun. It's such a rewarding opportunity to get together with you and discuss topics that often aren't talked about in our profession. And I'm sure, like you, would just appreciate the listeners' feedback.
Oh yeah,
and I feel like it's a journey for both of us, as well as, you know, whenever I hear our listeners say, "Oh, this really helped me," or "I found it really, you know, beneficial," I feel the same way about these conversations.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but we hear from colleagues we've never met that I don't think we would even have had the opportunity to talk to otherwise, but through the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And then I'd put personal professional development in that box too, because there are some courses that I have outlined for myself that I'd like to take this year, you know, in localization, in transcreation, and SEO translation and copywriting that I need to make time for. And that's time
outside
of work. Oh, I
didn't think
of
courses.
Right?
Yeah, you take that too.
You take courses too.
Yeah.
As for other projects, I am writing an ebook with a colleague for our students in the translation and interpretation program at HCC. Mm-hmm. This will be sort of a study aid, or, you know, an additional material for our community college students that will help them understand translation techniques better, in sort of like introduction to translation techniques. There are other books out there, but we found that for many of our students, you know, at this level, the community college level, they're either too expensive or they go in too much detail. So we're trying to find an more affordable, more accessible, more engaging way to teach them those things through this ebook. So we're writing that together. I am translating for now, and I think Corinne will correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the second year that I'm working on a translation of her book into Russian, How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator. I bought the rights for translating that a while ago from Corinne, and my goal was to get it self-published last year. But then, of course, with the COVID and kids staying home and all of these other crazy things happening, this was very much delayed, but I'm working on it.
If you didn't start it last year, that doesn't count. We'll say it's this year.
Yeah, right.
I forgot the book too. Yeah. Yes. And I'm writing a book as well, but that's kind of been, you know, stop and go, stop and go.
Oh, I mean, as you start making that list, it just never ends.
Yeah.
And then one other project I'm working on is, you know, I've taught localization webinars and courses at my local community college for a while now. And I'm trying to organize the material that I have developed and that I have available to make it either an ebook or a series of blog posts, or, you know, shape them in some other form. So that's another project I have on my schedule, and obviously volunteering for ATA on several committees and the board, and all the personal family related stuff that I enjoy doing, you know, being outside, playing with the kids, doing crafts. I really enjoy making photo albums for my kids, you know, create them online and add captions and print them, because we all enjoy looking through them.
Oh, I could use some help there.
You need to make time for that too.
Right.
So how do you decide how much time you can devote to unpaid projects and how often you can work on them?
You know, I will admit I am not the best at this, to tell you the truth. I am trying to be better.
Who is?
Well, I'm trying to be better at it, and I'll tell you why. Because I tend to agree to a lot of things because I'm excited about a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't have certain time limits on things, because some things you don't even know how long they're going to take, or how long a project will will stretch out, right? So I try to make sure that the way that I do it right now, and I definitely have room for improvement here. I try to make sure that I'm handling volunteer stuff during certain hours of the day, and I try not to let it seep over too much into the time that I'm with my family. So evenings and weekends, but you know what? Sometimes it does. And sometimes on the weekend, I am spending a couple hours doing something that I just couldn't get done during the week. But, what's been helping, what has helped me for many years, but especially now because I have more going on than ever, I try to make sure that anything that involves a client deadline or client project gets priority with my work hours. Because sometimes, of course, I'm working on volunteer stuff during work hours. We work for ourselves. We can do that. And I realize that that's a privilege because not everybody is able to do that. But I will say that I don't say, well, I only devote this many hours per week. I mean, if I did that, I don't know that I would be able to keep up, to tell you the truth. Because every week is different. Every month is different. Every season is different. Especially, you know, what I really saw this past year and a half with the pandemic is that my volunteerism really ramped up because we really needed to support our members in ATA during COVID. I mean, really needed to do a lot to support members during what was a really tough time for them. So I do try to make sure that, number one, I get my client work done no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then the other time that I'm not like marketing my business or working on different areas of my business, even if it is unpaid. So for example, I write my blog for free, right? But I do make time for that. I try to work on that on a schedule. So that has helped me. I break tasks down into smaller tasks, and I spread it out a little bit over multiple days, because for me, it doesn't work to sit down and say, I'm going to work on this blog post for 3 hours today and I'll be done with it. It just, I don't have that kind of block of time, right? I have a lot of meetings. I have a lot of client work to do and other responsibilities. So what I do, and this has worked really well for me. So if this helps anybody, hopefully it'll help. I will say, okay, for example, a blog post. You can't just sit down and write a blog post. That's just not how a good blog post turns out, right? So I'll sit down one day and I'll do the outline. That might take, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on what it is, especially if I know the topic really well, it may take less time. Or if I don't, it may take more time, depending, and research and things like that. And then I'll take a different day, and usually I leave a couple days in between because I need some time to think and let things kind of settle. Sometimes I get more ideas. And then I'll use a different day to write just a first draft, no editing involved. A different day I will edit. And if I break it down like that into smaller periods of time, I find that it's much easier to handle these things going forward. And then, you know, choosing the image to go with it and all of that. And then letting people know that it's there, you know, that's an additional piece of it. So I try to do that with most of my projects that are unpaid. But even paid projects, you know, I do a lot of copywriting for clients as well. And I follow the same process as I would, you know, for example, a blog post. I spend some time outlining and I do outline a bunch of different projects, come back another day, I've got the research for those projects and so on. And I found that batching things like that, but making it a shorter period of time rather than say, I'm going to sit down for 6 hours and knock this out. You know, I don't work well that way. I know some people do, but I think finding the way that I work well has helped me to devote the time to different projects. So I don't have a good answer for that question about how do you decide how much time you can devote. But I do know when I've devoted a lot or too much. And I realize, wait a minute, this is now, you know, affecting other things that I'm doing. And it may be a negative way, you know, maybe not, but you know, it, you know, when it's too much that you're putting too much time into one certain thing. So I try to handle it that way a little bit each day for me has gone a long way. The same thing with my marketing. I tell people all the time who read my blog or take my courses, you don't have to spend an hour or 2 hours every day marketing. You can spend 20 minutes And the more you do it consistently, you will see the effects of it, you know, positive effects of it. So I don't know. That's what I do. What about you?
I like your tip about batching. I'm going to use it in in that process of writing an ebook with my colleague. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on whether it is a commitment to someone or like an organization or something I want to do for my business or for myself, or if it's a personal project, or, you know, so there are so many variables there. And unfortunately, like you, I imagine if I made a commitment to others, I feel like it's a higher priority. And I often find that I struggle staying on track of my own projects that are unpaid because I've made a commitment to someone, even if it's, you know, volunteering or you know, something like that. Plus, there are often higher priority things like paid work or family emergencies. So as a result of that, I often find that my own personal projects like end up at the bottom of the list. And that's something I'm consciously trying to reverse and, you know, do better with. And pre-pandemic, I think we talked about it before, pre-pandemic, I would allocate a day a week, like Friday typically, for these things. So I would have Friday as my day for podcast related stuff, my personal projects, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And I used to schedule one day a month for personal projects just to have a day where I, you know, only focus on those and knock out as much as I can. Uh-huh. But of course, last year, my system totally collapsed because my kids were at home for 6 months. So some of my, I had to make some hard choices, and some of my unpaid projects and like personal projects had to be shelved for a while. And these days, I'd say I still use a full day of work for various unpaid projects a week, but it's more scattered throughout the week. And I don't have like a hard rule like you as far as deciding how much time to devote, because many of these things don't have a deadline. They don't have like a firm deliverable. It's just a commitment that you've made and you have to follow through and deliver. Though now I'm noticing as things settle down family-wise for me, and, you know, with the kids being at school, Fridays are again re-emerging as a good day for me to dedicate to these projects. So that's what I've been doing.
Don't say that too loudly.
No, I'm going to jinx
it. Ask you for something on a Friday.
Right.
Yeah. I totally get that.
So how do you handle a situation when a certain project takes more time than you expected, or if something needs more of your attention during a certain time of the month or year that you may not have allotted originally to that project? How do you handle that?
Well, I sometimes have to step back and look at why that is, right? Because sometimes these things that take longer than expected are actually things that are in our control. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is sometimes we set like, let's say it's a personal project or even a project in your business, you know, that you don't technically get paid for. Like there's not a client deliverable, but it is something that is for your business. Mm-hmm. So for example, I talk to colleagues all the time who are saying, you know, I've been meaning to update my website for 10 years. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, it's a lot of people, right? And I get it, because it is sort of like what you're saying. It's something for you, for your business. So we kind of let it take a back seat when other things come up, right? But so what I think about is like, is it me who has held up this process? And is that why it's taking longer? Is it because I'm letting other things get in the way? Or, you know, if there's something else that seems more appealing, am I jumping on that first because I'm like, ooh, that would be more fun, or that would be easier, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I have to think about that, because if that's the case, then I know I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Because if this thing is really important to me, then I should be making time for it. Yeah. But if it turns out that it's not working out, then I have to say, okay, is it important still? And if it is, then I have to make some changes, obviously, right? To my schedule or to what I'm doing in general to make time for that, or just take it off my plate if it's not, mm-hmm. if it's not important anymore. But let's say it's something that's outside of my control, and I don't know, maybe I'm working on something with somebody else and they got sick or they misunderstood like what they were supposed to do, or, you know, these things happen, right? I feel like there are several different ways to handle those things. But just realizing, okay, this is going to take longer than expected. Okay, I need to make time for that going forward then until it's done, and either set new outcomes or just accept the fact that it's going to take longer mm-hmm. and make sure that everybody's on board with that. You know, I don't have a hard answer for how I handle when a project takes longer than expected, other than, okay, well, that means that if I'm going to work on this thing going forward for a longer period of time, something else has to give,
right?
Something else has to take a back seat. And what is that going to be?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it comes down to prioritization, which I'm sometimes very good at prioritizing. Other times I'm not. It just depends on what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all human. So,
yeah.
You know, priorities change. They take, you know, I think we've talked about this in many episodes mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
Our priorities change. They shift. We can't expect them to always be the same. But that's the way I kind of look at it. I am the kind of person who, when I have a certain goal in mind, I want to make sure I hit that goal. And I may not always hit it, obviously. You know, we can't always have everything we want. But I think that it's important to remember that sometimes we do have to like recalibrate
mm-hmm.
or redirect what our desired outcome is, or accept that it might be something different than what it was when we thought it was going to, you know, what it was going to be when we started, you know? So
yeah
what about you? Do you plan for those times when the unexpected happens and you need to devote more time than you originally thought, if it's like an unpaid project?
Right. Well, I don't necessarily plan for it, but I think I have several strategies of dealing with those situations when they do arise. Like you, I first take a look at myself and see, like, is it my fault? Did I get distracted or sidetracked? Because I do sometimes, if it's something I'm really enjoying, I do kind of go down the rabbit hole of maybe, you know, creating something that is more than I'm supposed to deliver. If, say, if it's a volunteer project, I may get so into it that I'll over deliver, you know, like this overachiever.
No, never.
Never.
That, yes, never. I have witnessed that.
Yes. Yeah. Let me just create
in a good
this,
way.
Yeah. One little thing and then it's like this gigantic project. So sometimes it's my fault and it just takes assessment and self-evaluation to see, was it me? Did I get distracted? Do I need help? That's another thing that I am always asking myself, you know, and challenging myself, because I find that sometimes it's hard to ask for help and admit that I need help. But that can be another resort, just to say, okay, I need help. And then ask people for help and hopefully tackle that together faster, or, you know, stay on track. Or if it's not possible and if the project really does take longer, just being transparent with everyone involved, you know, because we're assuming this is a volunteer situation or a project you're working on the side, say with a colleague or even, that is, yeah, in either way, it's like something that's not paid, that's not your primary line of work, just being transparent with others about it and discussing what can we do now? How do we tackle it? And that, you're right, that may mean that something else goes on the back burner. So we tackle that thing first, something that's more urgent, and then see what other things can wait a little longer so that we're not like overwhelmed and burned out. So that's my approach to it. What about our hobbies? Those are fun, but also unpaid. And sometimes we can feel a sense of guilt when it comes to devoting time to something fun when we think we should be working or earning money. How do you feel about this?
Oh, I know this feeling so well.
Yeah.
I have lots of things I'm interested in,
mm-hmm.
and I like to be doing a lot of things. Maybe not literally all at the same time, but figuratively all at the same time, you know, like I like to have a lot of different things going on. But I know that feeling of guilt when it comes time to devote to something fun. And then you think, oh, I should be doing something else. I don't sit still well. Like if I sit down to read a book
mm-hmm.
within a few pages, I can think, oh, I forgot to do that thing.
Yes.
And I need to go handle this or that, or, oh, I forgot to get back to that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I'm working on actively all the time. But I also find a lot of joy in the hobbies that I have. Like, I think I've mentioned here before, I like to do house projects, like sort of home renovation type things,
mm-hmm.
you know, not on a major scale, but as much as I can possibly do myself. And something else that goes with that is not just time, but money. So I have to also think about, like, when is a good time to handle these things? And also, when do I have the money to pay for this project? Because sometimes that can also extend further than what your wallet has, what you thought it was going to cost. So I try to think about it this way, like, everybody should be able to do something they enjoy every day in some way and not feel guilty about it.
I love that.
Well, you would think that we would all feel that way about ourselves, but still we have that sense of guilt. And I think that it's really important to remember that even when those things that we enjoy feel like, oh, this, I shouldn't be doing this right now, or I should be working on something else or whatever, we also have to pay attention to the fact, that we can't let those things take over either. And I think some people do fall into that, like they get so sucked into a book that they find that they ended up reading the whole day instead of translating or something. You know, I'm not saying that's the norm, but I know some people that would say that. And so there is a sense of balance, if you will, clarity, as we like to say, about that. But I think we also have to remember that there should be clarity around making time for the things we enjoy, like hobbies or spending time with certain people or whatever, that actually does make us better rounded. It makes us happier, which means we will do better work. And so it has a positive effect all around it, but it's really not something that we tend to remember in the moment when we're having that thought spiral of, oh, I shouldn't be doing this right now. I should be doing that, you know? Yeah. So I try to make time for them. I especially devote time to those things on the weekends, sometimes in the evening if I'm not too tired. But I love to read, so that's pretty much any time that I have some free time, I like to do that. But then I get so into those hobbies or whatever it is that I'm like, oh no, now I don't have any more time because it's the work week again.
Oh no, I have to stop now.
Right. Yeah, but it also gives you something to look forward to, yes. I found.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. How do you feel about hobbies and things like that?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I know. It's definitely often that feeling of it's such a struggle to find time for them. But as you said at the beginning, it's making time, right? So I have to remind myself of that, like making time for hobbies, because I do feel that sense of calm and inspiration after doing something that I enjoy, you know, that is a hobby or just a fun activity that I do with kids or alone. And it's funny because I used to, when I had a full-time job in a corporate environment, I used to think, oh, I have no time. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had so much free time.
Yes.
Yes. Because as a freelancer, I work a lot more than I had in the typical office environment. You know, I don't take coffee breaks, lunch breaks, and like just random chats with people at the office.
You don't take a lunch break?
I do take a lunch break, but I tend to, yes, of course I take a lunch break, but I don't like take a lunch break with other people, which tends to, you know,
be longer.
You have a conversation, it's longer. Mm-hmm. My lunch break is pretty efficient, and even though my husband works from home now, still he has work, I have work, we eat lunch and we go to our offices.
Yeah, same here.
So I encourage myself to do that, to take a coffee break, to enjoy my lunch break, to eat lunch outside, you know.
Yes.
To take a walk, to spend 15 minutes doodling or like coloring. I love coloring books. You know, find any other pockets of time for personal projects and hobbies. I know sometimes with hobbies, it's not going to work like in a 15-minute format. You need longer time than that. But if there is something you enjoy doing that lends itself to like, say, to 10, 15 minutes here and there, that could be doable. And it's easier said than done, of course. And on a busy week, time on weekend is my only chance to enjoy hobbies.
Yeah.
But this year, I'm like you, I'm making an effort to schedule a day off once a month in the middle of the week. And that's my day to only do the things I want to do and enjoy doing. So that's work in progress, definitely.
Yeah, always will be, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so now I have a harder question. What about when someone asks you to work on something new that is completely unpaid and that may take up a good bit of your time? How do you respond to this?
Let's see. Well, I usually don't think about it in terms of time. Maybe I should start thinking that way. I don't know. But I do try to think about, okay, what will come out of this whatever it is, project, let's say, or something that they're asking me to work on that will have like a long-term effect or not, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I weigh it like that. If I feel like it's going to have long-term value and I'm interested in it and I'm excited about it, pretty much usually I'll say yes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes people ask me to do things that even if it's paid, you know, it depends on what it is, but whether paid or unpaid, sometimes people ask me to do things, but what they're asking me is not very clear. Does that make sense? Like mm-hmm. the details are not clear. It's almost like they're asking me something, but not really saying exactly what it is they want. So I'm kind of mm-hmm. left to figure it out. I'll usually say no to those things because, you know, if somebody says, oh yeah, would you do something like this for us? But then it's not clear what it is on the other side, mm-hmm. like what I am supposed to do. Or if I have to come up with the idea that it seems kind
that's
of
extra work.
It is extra work.
Extra work for you.
And I feel like that's not a good way to ask anybody to do anything. If you're going to ask mm-hmm. somebody for something, be very specific. And I think that's a tip for everybody. Because if the person on the receiving end of the question, of the request, has to also determine like all the details and the outcome, or, you know, that's actually just putting more work on them for something that they didn't request in the first place. Like they didn't come up with that idea. You did.
Exactly.
So those types of things I tend to turn down, or I tend to give it back to the person and say, you know, when you have this worked out, let me know. And then I'll take another look at it. Because, you know, I'm not going to just say no. But I try not to say yes to everything, which is really hard for me sometimes. Because I, like I said, I'm interested in a lot of things. But if it's completely unpaid and it's going to take up a lot of my time, I do try to think about what's the value that's going to come out of this. Not just for me, obviously. Like, is that, am I going to get anything out of this? Maybe, maybe not. But what's the long-term value? Is it something like, let's say, that's going to be helpful for our professions, or, you know, is it going to help somebody who really needs it? Or, you know, it really just depends on what it is. And then of course, if I absolutely just don't have the time, then I can't take it. Most of the, you know, most of the time I do try to fit things in, but I have started to try to take more time to think things over before I give a quick response, which is my usual nature. And that has helped. Right. But I do find it hard to say no, in some situations. So I really have to think about that and weigh the different options and say, well, even if I can't do it right now, could I do it later? And sometimes that's an option, you know?
Yes.
So, what about,
that's a good point.
Yeah. What about you?
I struggle saying no too. There are some offers that are easy to turn down, but many things that come up are sound great. And so my usual rule is, you know, I look at my availability, I look at the time that this new project would need and how passionate I feel for the cause or like for the end result. So typically my decision would be based on these three factors, but then if the scope isn't clear, that means that the project is going to take much longer, because then I have to figure that out, like you pointed out. So I also think sometimes you know, asking if this can be done later is one option. Then another option is to see if you could do it with someone, you know, like if it's a project you can work on with a colleague or a team of colleagues, that may work out, because then you're spreading the work, you know, and everyone does a little bit. And I think it's a good idea to let these things sit for a little while and not like be too quick to answer yes or no. That's something I'm also working on all the time, because my instinct to many of those things is to say yes, absolutely, I'm on board, you can count on me. But then it's not, I don't always think about the long-term consequences and like how would this affect my availability and how tired I would get in the end with like juggling multiple projects. So I think it's really important to keep track of everything that you do, because it may, you may be working on many different things and they seem like small projects, or like, oh, I'm just devoting a little bit of time here and there. But when you put them all down on paper, it's a lot. And it's sometimes easy to lose track of just how much time we're giving away to all these valuable causes and things that we also work on for our own business and personal projects. So I think what I do is, you know, I don't track it on paper. I have it in Asana. So my Asana board includes both paid work, volunteering, personal projects, anything else that I'm working on that is unpaid. And that is helpful to see just how much is going on at any point in time, so that I can see if there is a project that's coming to an end, or something I'm completing soon, or some ongoing commitments. And that helps me gauge my availability overall for saying yes or no to newer things.
Oh, that's a good thing, is to kind of take a bird's eye view of the whole picture. I like that. Well, that's a great tip.
So to end this conversation with something fun, I wanted to ask you if you have any fun new projects in the queue that you'd like to share and how you're approaching them.
Great question. I always have fun projects. So I'm like thinking, which one should I share? Well, let's see. I'm wanting to do something new for the blog and training side of my business, which, you know, like the online presence coaching and courses and such that I teach. I recently revamped my website. So now I have like a student login for my website.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Thank you. And I'm looking at doing some new free offerings for people, like shorter, sort of not webinar style, but shorter videos, different things that I share sometimes through the blog, but turning some of those topics into like quick videos and things like that. I haven't started that yet, but that's something that's on my list to get started. And also, I recently, with the launch of the website, I launched a group coaching offer for colleagues who are looking to improve their online presence in different capacities, whether it's their website, their you know, LinkedIn presence, like what they do when they're on LinkedIn and how clients can find them and things like that. Or, you know, reaching out to clients or being, you know, online where their clients are and what they would do there, marketing their business and such, kind of like showing up better. Yeah. And so that's something that's new and I'm excited about. And it's, I wanted to roll it out slowly. And that is what's going on right now. It's a slow rollout. I've had some different colleagues say, oh yeah, I want to join the group coaching thing. So I'm excited about that. Cool. I need to start sharing it more. But that's something that I'm working on, is the content for that. And also just adding new content to my website for people, because I get such great questions from colleagues, and that's a part of my business I really enjoy. I used to be a teacher, an instructor, you know, and so it just takes me back to that time where I could teach, but now I don't have to like input grades or worry about faculty meetings or anything like that. So yeah, it's so nice. I really enjoy that part of my business. And also, as of yesterday, I just started a new course through Training for Translators is being taught by our colleagues Corinne McKay and Megan Conkle.
Is it international development?
Yes, Translating for the International Development Sector. I was trying to think of the whole name. Translating for the International Development Sector. And so that's an area of specialization I'm hoping to you know, kind of dive into, especially for Portuguese to English. You know, that's an area that I think that I want to look at. But that's not necessarily a fun project, but it is something exciting coming up. And then there's my book that I'm working on, which I have a decent amount written. I wish I had more written at this point, but I'm working on it. And that is something that I try to figure out as I go, where I'm going to devote the time to that, because it feels like such a big project, I think. So that's my big, exciting project. What about yours?
Well, my two goals for this year, I'm trying to be realistic, but the two things I absolutely want to get done this year is the Russian translation of How to Succeed as a Freelance Translator and that ebook I'm writing with a colleague on translation techniques. So those two are my high priority personal projects. And I simply scheduled 1 hour a day for each and put it on my digital calendar. Wow. Like first thing in the morning, as soon as the kids are off to school, that's what's on my calendar.
Wow.
And I must say this has kept me way more disciplined about it and organized than just the intention of doing it, because then you know the day starts and you open your email inbox and there's like 100 emails later, you're like, oh, it's lunchtime and I haven't done anything, or you know, I have to start translating or working on some paid project or going to a meeting or something. So just putting those two, like booking those two slots first thing every day helps me say no to other things or plan my day around those, but those are the priority and they come first. So
cool. Yeah, you're totally gonna get it done that way. I tried to do that and I've fallen off that wagon. I need to get back on it, where I was doing the things first thing in the morning before looking at anything else, because once you open that inbox, game over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Wow, an hour a day to each one is a lot.
Well, it didn't seem like it's a lot, but it's surprising how much you can get done in an hour if that's all you're focusing on, right? Like no other distractions.
So, yes.
Yeah. Ask me again in a few months how it's going.
Okay. Right. Speaking of that, before we wrap up, we have a little bit of time left. So let's do a smart habit check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So I am... That's one of the things that you mentioned that I'm kind of working on, is getting back into that habit of early morning, like first things first. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I fell off the wagon pretty much for the past couple of months. Well, it feels like longer. Time is still a blur in COVID times.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess it's not been that long. It hasn't been that long, but it feels like a long time where I've kind of fallen off of that. So I'm trying to get back into that early morning, like getting into these projects that are important to me that I want to accomplish. And I think one thing I need to do to make sure that I'm consistent with it is set myself an exact date to have them finished by.
Mm.
And to remind myself of that, and maybe set some milestone points along the way, like quarterly or monthly or whatever. So I'm working on that. And I'll mention two, actually. The other one is meditation. Yeah. I tried that. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. And it's going well. It's very hit or miss for me right now. I was doing it consistently every morning for about 10 minutes. And I noticed that it was very helpful, as our colleagues Eve and Corinne rightly pointed out, which is what we talked about when we mentioned this before. But I've since fallen off of that as well. It's one of those things that you're like, wait a minute, I have to sit still and like not do other things at the same time. So that's been tough for me. I need to work on that a little bit more. But yeah, it's something that I did find is very helpful. So I'm excited to get back into doing it more regularly. But somebody pointed out to me the other day that you don't even have to sit down and say like, okay, I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever. And they said, just from when you're switching between tasks from one to the other, it would be really good to just take 1 minute and close your eyes and breathe deeply, right? Before you move on to the next thing. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting perspective. Right. So I'm going to think about that as well, you know, and maybe as an alternative for those days where I'm like, okay, I'm not sitting down for 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe I'm doing this instead. So yeah. What are you working on? What smart habit are you working on?
Oh, goodness. Well, several. I'll try to keep it to two or three at the most. Well, meditation has been going well for me and I think the reason why is that I added it to my yoga routine. So in the morning, when I wake up early, I wake up before my kids wake up and I do my morning yoga. I'm part of the online yoga group with a few colleagues, and we keep each other accountable. And that habit has been going strong for now over a year.
Wow.
So I've tried to get into yoga for so long. Like it was something that I was curious about and I wanted to try, and I went to a few classes, but I'd never really stuck with it, you know? But when the pandemic hit and we started this online yoga group, it just, you know, that really kept it going for me. So I've been doing yoga every morning for over a year now. So
wow.
That's great. And so I just added, as soon as I am done with the yoga class in the morning, I just pick a meditation on YouTube or on my phone app, and I just add 5 or 10 minutes right after the yoga class, because I'm in that mood. Uh-huh. I'm in that zone, you know. And so that's a good way, I found that that's a good way for me to like wrap up and kind of center myself and get ready for the day, and then I go and get on with the rest of the morning.
Oh, cool.
One habit I wanted to get better at was to really go out for a walk every day, at least for 20 minutes. And I kind of struggled with that because it's so hard for me to just, you know, keep going and keep working. And it's not that I don't move a lot, I do, but that, you know, just going out for a walk and just breathing and being outside. And that has resolved itself as soon as we got a puppy. Because you have to walk a puppy, so I'm happy to say that that has been helpful, and I do walk a lot every day now. One thing that I need to improve on is meal planning, because I found that adding a puppy to your family is like adding a new baby. Some things just have to give, and unfortunately for me, I keep forgetting planning dinner and breakfast and lunches, so it's always like an afterthought. So I really need to get back to meal planning, because that's been working really well. And I feel like every day is a struggle now, like, oh, dinner, I haven't thought of that.
Story of my life. Yeah. Yes, I get it.
So that's one I'm going to focus on from now on. Do we have time to share our latest reads?
Yeah, I think so. Let's do that.
So I'm reading a book now that's called No Fail Communication by Michael Hyatt.
Oh, yeah.
And the tagline for that is 13 Workplace Communication Problems and How to Fix Them. And I didn't really pay attention to that, you know, second part of it, but I was like, oh, No Fail Communication. And I really like his work. And I'm really enjoying the book. It's a short one and a really great book.
Yeah.
And it does focus a lot on workplace communication, like in a company or in an organization. But I found that there's a lot of advice there that applies to working with clients, working with colleagues, volunteering or communicating with other people in general, both in like meetings, but whether they're in person or virtual, and email. Yeah. And like some topics are really relevant for us, like unclear communication or people being confused on who was supposed to do what.
Oh, yes.
Or like you waiting to hear from people and then they never responded, or feeling overwhelmed with email. So yeah. There are lots of great tips, and it's a really fun exercise to like read every tip and imagine how it would work in a freelancer uh-huh. situation, or like a scenario where volunteers are involved. So I really recommend that one. What about you?
Yeah, let me tell you about that in a second. I actually have read his other book. He has a few, but No Fail Meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's good. It was written pre-COVID times, so it's not as yeah. you know, it's funny because he's like, some things are better done virtually. Oh. So, you know, take that for what it's worth, but it's a decent short read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just finished a book called Who is Maud Dixon by Alexandra Andrews, and it's so good. It's her first novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. It's a suspense novel, and it's about a junior publishing employee who ends up getting hired by a famous writer who nobody knows her name. Her real name, because she goes by this pseudonym, Maud Dixon, when she writes her books. And she gets hired as this woman's assistant. And she she takes on this writer's persona when the writer goes missing. It's really interesting. Oh. And then I don't want to give anything away if people are interested in reading this, but it's a very good read. But it is essentially like a story about changing and recognizing your identity in different ways. It's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend that.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for this week's episode. We hope you got some ideas for ways to handle your unpaid work without feeling a sense of guilt or overwhelm. Please let us know. You can comment on the show notes page for this episode, which you can find on our website, or tag us on social media, or you can email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. And thanks, Madalena, for a great chat. So next week, our email subscribers will get a summary of this episode, including the links to all the resources that we mentioned today. So if you're not receiving your emails yet, please sign up on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
And if you liked this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.